remember that when class time comes up next Sunday. So if you're not here, you're going to miss a class. It may be our last class. Somebody asked me a while ago, this is the second time we've met this year, right?
Yeah.
Maybe our last time, we don't know. Maybe the rapture take place. Get us out of this world. Take us home, be with the Lord. We have no inheritance in this land. And I don't care what some of these preachers are saying, that follow some of the teachings of the 12 apostles that are looking forward to a land grant like in Matthew chapter 5. All good Baptists better know the Beatitudes, don't you? The meek shall inherit the earth. Well, I don't care how meek you get, you ain't getting the earth.
Amen.
If you trust what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary, you're going to be raptured out of here. You're going to spend eternity with the Lord. We will be a spiritual body, a group of believers that are His body, and each member is a member in that body. One complete body, a bunch of members, just like Paul gave the analogy of the body that you now walk around in. The church, the body of Christ, is made up of many members. And you don't have to be a denominationalist to be a member of that body. All you have to be is a believer and to believe that when Christ died at Calvary, He died for all of your sins. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing your trespasses unto you. And if you think about it, all of your trespasses that Jesus Christ became were against God. And that's all of them.
Amen.
That's even those that don't care.
Amen.
He died for them. That's those that are ungodly, as in Romans chapter 5. Christ died for the ungodly. If you're ungodly like I am, Christ died for you.
Amen.
If you ain't ungodly, Christ didn't die for you. You have got to see yourself as a lost, hell-bound sinner before you'll ever need a Savior. It's just that simple.
Amen.
If you ain't never seen yourself lost, probably or you won't never get saved. Until you come unto the knowledge of the truth that you are as a lost sinner, take your last breath on this earth, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. You need a Savior. And today is the day God has provided for you to be saved by what Christ did at Calvary for you. Okay? Now, if you will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk to you this morning about the ministry of the 12 apostles. And you say, well, why are you starting in 1 Timothy? Well, we'll see. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us and pay for all of our sins. And we do appreciate what he did for us, and we thank you for it. And by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, we pray this morning that you be with the sick, that you heal them according to thy will, and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding, and let them understand the need of salvation if they're not saved. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself. In other words, they didn't take his life from him. He gave his life. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Well, who is the teacher of the Gentiles today? Is Paul a teacher of the Gentiles? That's what he said, didn't he? Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Now, there's other references to Paul's apostleship especially in the book of Romans chapter 15 verse 16, Paul said that he was the minister of the Gentiles. In other words, when the Lord appeared unto him in Acts chapter 9, he gave him a dispensation that centered around what Christ did at Calvary. Now, in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I know that when Jesus Christ appeared to Paul in Acts chapter 9, we'll say that's Saul of Tarsus right there. The Lord Jesus Christ, from his glory on high, appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and told Paul that he had died for his sins and all of his transgressions were paid for. Paul became a minister and he started ministering to people in Romans to Philemon. And in Acts chapter 18, the Lord appeared unto him again in the temple and gave him a different dispensation than this one right here. Now, what about the 12 apostles? Take two passages. Take Isaiah 8, take Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, Jesus Christ said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, take Hebrews chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, go with me to verse, go to verse 11. Let's start in verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me. Now this is Isaiah, the Lord talking to him with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy. To all them to whom this people shall say, confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Verse 14. And he, the Lord, shall be for a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many of them shall stumble, that's the house of Israel now, and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. Well, beloved, there are no disciples in Romans to Philemon. We're ambassadors. And an ambassador is in a foreign land. We right now are in a foreign land. Our home is in heaven. You understand? We're ambassadors while we're here, absent from the Lord. Now, watch what he says. Verse 18. Behold, I and the children. You see that? Verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now these children, they're not like these little children in this building here. These are the apostles. And if you want to verify that, go to John chapter 13. Go to the book of John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Now you can't miss this. Go with me to verse, let's start in verse 31. John 13, 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither you go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, now watch what he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Who is he talking to? His disciples, ain't he? Well, let's find out about the disciples. Go to Matthew 10 and Luke 6. Matthew 10, Luke chapter 6. Now, I'm interested in the ministry of the apostles, the disciples. You see, all disciples are not apostles, but all apostles are disciples. You sure about that? Did you hear what I just said? I got one head shaking no. Now listen. All apostles are disciples. Now you just missed what I said a while ago. I said there are no disciples in Romans to Philemon. We are what? Ambassadors. Is Paul a disciple or is he an ambassador? He's an ambassador. He's in a foreign land. What is his job to do? Proclaim the word that God gave to him. He's not proclaiming necessarily. And the reason I say necessarily, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because the first six epistles that he wrote would include instructions out of this. That they died, that Jesus Christ died for these people's sins according to the scriptures. You understand? Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, in you all right with your shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay. In Matthew chapter 10, you see, Paul said we are ambassadors. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what does the ambassador's ministry? It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of the Spirit of the New Testament, not the letter, but the Spirit of the New Testament. So what does an ambassador do? He does what his master tells him to do. In other words, if the United States sends an ambassador to a foreign country, what is his job to do? Right. To teach what the leader sent him to do. He's not to teach his own teaching. You understand? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Well, Jesus Christ said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and there are no sheep in Romans to Philemon today. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1. Let's go to verse 1. You're holding Luke 6 now. Matthew 10, Luke 6. Now, Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sicknesses, all manner of diseases. Anybody in here got any sicknesses besides me? Well, if I'm a disciple, according to the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I should be able to heal myself and you. And I can't do that. I told my wife this morning, I'm so tired of going to these stinking doctors, and I know we can't live without them, but I'm tired of it. And the more I go, the more I gotta go to. They touch you here, they mess you up over here, or down yonder, or somewhere. It's like raising the hood on an old car. You start working over here, and your elbow bumps this, well, it's done broke, and I got it. You know how it goes. You're just a never-ending thing, especially when you get old. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called on him and his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who called Peter; Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee; John, his brother; Philip, Bartholomew; Thomas; Matthew, the publican; James, the son of Alphaeus; Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go to the Gentiles and tempt them. Do what? Did I have something wrong? Oh, I apologize. He said, go first to the Jews, then the Gentiles.
Go not.
Is that what he said?
Go not.
Go not. What does go not mean? You know, my mama used to tell me that, and I never did learn it. And I have stripes on my bohiney and my legs because I didn't learn it. That's what's mad at these kids nowadays, and they some stripes put on their butt.
Amen.
And maybe they straighten up. But you know, Dr. Spock says you can't do that. Put them in time out where they got a TV and all that kind of toys. Make them miserable, you know. Yeah. Well, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Who's the 12? The apostles, ain't they? From the disciples, ain't they? Now, these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, any city of Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Do y'all know anybody that teaches that they are disciples today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can they do this?
No.
Why not? Didn't God give them power to do this? Didn't they go forth and do it? Didn't in the book of Acts chapter 5, didn't they do miracles and signs and wonders? Didn't in Luke chapter 16, he said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. You know any church that teaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today for doctrine that can do that?
No.
Well, something's wrong here.
Anyway.
Who is our apostle?
Paul.
Well, they say, well, we believe in following Jesus. You believe in following a man. No, I believe in following Jesus. But I follow Jesus through the man that was sent to me. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, be ye followers of me, chapter 11 verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And when Christ's earthly ministry, Paul was persecuting these people. That's what the Lord told him on the road to Damascus. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. The Lord appeared unto him for a purpose. I have a purpose. And I don't care who don't like it. I'm not here to please you. If you never come back to this class, that's your problem, not mine. If you disagree with what the Word of God says, you need to get on your hands and knees and pray to God. He show you the truth about it. And then you change your mind about what you believe, what your doctrine has been teaching you at your church you go to. Y'all know in the book of Revelation, all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Any of you ever been here of a lie? Probably will for today, old boy. Back you up in the corner, you're a lie, won't you? Mama back you up in that corner there with a big old switch with knobs all up and down that thing, swatting at your legs. You're going to lie to get out of that mess, ain't you? Yeah, you sure will. Now, did he tell them to heal the sick?
Yes.
Do y'all know anybody that can do that?
No.
And don't tell me to go see Benny Hinn.
Oh, Lord.
That's the biggest lie. If the devil's got a forked tail and big red ears, and fire coming out of his mouth, that's Benny Hinn. That's a picture of Benny Hinn. Y'all know my feeling about that sorry low down scoundrel. I can watch him healing people, and then right after that St. Jude's comes on in there. Boy, I can't watch it no more. It just tears my heart out. Them little babies up there done lost all their hair, begging for research money so they can have a life. And Benny Hinn says he's got the power to heal. Why don't you go on over there and do it?
He said he's been on there.
Get on over there. No, you couldn't pull Benny Hinn into St. Jude's Hospital. No. You couldn't drag him in there. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You see, we follow Christ as Paul followed Christ. I can't follow Christ in this earthly ministry. He told me in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 here, he said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Amen. Well, he told these apostles, he's training, believe it, he's training 12 men. And in Isaiah, in Hebrews, he said these men are for signs and wonders in Israel. God ain't, and I don't care what Hagee says, little fat devil, he's just lying up. Hagee says that we need to be allied with Israel today. Where are they at? God said they're low end now. God said they're not my people. Jesus Christ in the book of John chapter 9 said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Verse 5, and Jesus Christ, where is he at? He's gone out of this world, beloved. Israel's light is gone. And he told them in the book of John, if that light in you, which is darkness, be dark, how gross is that darkness? You know what Satan means? You know what the name Satan and Lucifer, which is the devil, and Satan, you know what it means? It means light. But he's the lesser light. God Almighty in the creation back here gave two lights, greater light to rule the day. This, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this is the day of salvation. Who's ruling today? Be careful. Who's ruling today? Satan is. Satan's the god of this world today. Satan's the one that's pulling the wool over people's eyes. He's taking the word of God and making it of none effect. You know what he's doing? He's teaching people Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John during the time of Romans to Philemon. It won't work, and it won't surprise me none after the rapture of the church in the book of Hebrews through Revelation. He'll be trying to get the people to believe the gospel of Christ back here, and it won't save them. The two witnesses over here will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But who cares? Luke 6, verse 13. And then when it was day, in other words, they can see. They're not in the nighttime now. They ought to be able to see. Now, we're not the children of night. We're the children of light. So God gives you his spirit, those that are saved, that will bear witness with his spirit. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, and he named them. Verse 14, Simon, whom also he called Peter, Andrew his brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and accompanied his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from sea coast to Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him. And he healed their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. Now there are more than 12 disciples there. You understand? But out of the disciples he chose 12 and called them apostles. Now, verse 20, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. And it goes on and on and on. Well, what is their ministry? Well, their ministry is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ain't that what he told them? Yeah. Go back to 1 Kings in your Bible. It'll be after Samuel. 1 Kings. Let's go to chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. That's the last chapter in 1 Kings. Look at verse... Let's go to verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Michal, shall we go against Ramah-Gilgath to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he, Michal, said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. You see, I believe in teaching the whole Bible. But I don't believe in teaching the whole Bible is written to you. I believe it's written for you. Romans to Philemon is written to you, rightly divided. Paul's very clear about that. Matthew 26. Let's see if I got a reference. Go to verse 26. Let's start in verse 26. I don't like to just break into a context and not let you see what's happening, because people say, well, they just omitted this verse because they didn't want you to see it. I want you to see the whole Bible. Every word of it is inspired by God. And it's in this book for a reason. Now, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That will be the new covenant. In other words, Israel has not received the atonement yet. Israel will receive the atonement over here at the second coming. When the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom, he said, I'll not drink of that vine with you until over here. You understand? Over here, after the tribulation. This is the 7-year period of time of Jacob's trouble. The Antichrist can be revealed. The two witnesses will be preaching. Over here, Moses and Elijah, they will go up in the middle of the tribulation, and then the devil offers the mark of the beast over here, and he makes an image to that beast, and then all those that won't take that mark of the name will be killed over here. Jesus Christ told them in Matthew 16, verse 25, he that loses his life over here shall find it. He that saveth his life will lose his eternal life. You can't lose your eternal life. Once you trust Christ as your personal Savior, believing that he died for your sins, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Don't let somebody tell you that you can lose your salvation. If you can lose it, you never had it. You're a vain believer if you can lose it. If somebody tell you that junk. Now, Matthew 26. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I got one other comment about that blood there. That's why Satan hates it so bad. There's a word in Romans chapter 5 that most all your new translations, and if you got a Bible with a center reference there, it'll probably reference to the word in Matthew chapter 5 verse 11, we have now received the atonement. It'll reference it to reconciliation. No, 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 it's atonement.
Amen.
You know why we've received the atonement? Because we were resurrected with him in AD 33 based on God's foreknowledge. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, believe in the fact that he died for you, paid for all your sins, and that's what you put your faith and trust in, God Almighty knew that before you were ever born, according to Psalms 139. And when he did, he resurrected you with Christ. But he had to put the blood to your sins or you couldn't have went there. Israel will get that blood atonement according to Zechariah 12, 13, and 14 over here at the second coming. He said in Hebrews chapter 8 and 9, this is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. And in Psalms 103, he said, I'll put their sins as far as the east is from the west, and we remember them no more. Do you know how far it is from the east to the west?
Long way.
It's like eternity. You can't get there. You start going east, you never get west. You go east, you go east, you don't never get to the west. Where's the west at? Well, anyway. Now, back to this. Matthew 26, verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. You know what that tells me? That tells me who the book of James is written to. But you know, these Camelites, Church of Christ, they don't believe that. They go to the book of James to get their doctrine. Go to the book of Acts. Hold up. Well, you don't have to hold Matthew. But I want you to take James chapter 1, and I want you to take I've got one of them senior jobs going on in my mind here now. I ain't got much left, and it just left me. Go to Michael chapter 1. James, you'll have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Michael. Go to Ezekiel. Go to your right toward Matthew. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. That ain't Michael. I want to go to Nahum, the next book from Michael. If you got Matthew, go back about three minor prophets to your left. Now, you see, I believe words mean what they mean. Now, James chapter 1, let's see who the book of James is written to. James is supposed to be an apostle or so, I think. Used to be. I don't know what y'all think about him, but look what he says. James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Who is the book of James written to? Is it written to the church, the body of Christ?
No, sir.
It's written to the 12 tribes. They're scattered all over the world. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. He did so. They crucified him. They're scattered all over the world. James wrote to them over here. He didn't write to the church, the body of Christ. Go to Nahum, chapter 1. You'll have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Is this the day of vengeance?
No.
This ain't the day of vengeance. This is the day of grace. This is the day God would have all men to be saved, no matter what you are, what you're doing, what kind of lifestyle you have. God died for that at Calvary. Amen. Paid for it. The 12 did not know that. They did not preach that.
Amen.
All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. You see, I don't believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews because he said he didn't. And I believe Paul meant what he said. Paul said 13 times there's a token in every epistle that he writes. You can find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17.
Yeah.
He said there's a token in every epistle I write. In every 13 books that Paul wrote, Romans to Philemon starts off Paul. 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 Get to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It starts off God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All right, there's angels over here. There ain't no angels in here. Angels are for Israel.
Amen.
And I know there's a denomination in this world that don't give a flip what God says because they believe they got guardian angels on every corner.
Amen.
My guardian angel's been asleep all my 70-something years I've been here. Where you at? What would you do if you was riding along? And I knew a man this happened to. We used to work at Scott Paper Company. Worked in the Ellis Warehouse over by International Paper. I was dealing with him about the Word of God rightly dividing different things. Come to me one day, he lived in Baymanette. Me and my wife met him one day at the football field up there. Shortly after that, I went over there, had to work over there in that area. He come to me, he said, I was going home yesterday and an angel sat down beside me on the truck seat. And I thought, man, this man has lost it. And I didn't argue with him. There was no point in it at that point. I just held my peace. I knew there was something wrong with it. 2 weeks after that, he run away from home and left his family and his youngins and moved to South Carolina. And I don't know if he ever come back or not.
With an angel?
What would you do if you left here and you riding along and all of a sudden there's somebody sitting beside you? I suspect that car would be driving itself. I'd go out the door.
And then you left his family.
Hey, but wait a minute. Hold the fort. Does Satan have angels?
Yes,
he sure does. Y'all study 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Y'all study 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again, not the first time now, not when he was born, not when he come in the manger, brought again from the dead. Colossians chapter 1 says Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Mm-hmm. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Didn't he tell them in Matthew that this is the blood of the new covenant shed for many for remission of sins? Did he say remission or forgiveness?
Remission.
You know what? You can have a disease and it can go in remission. It ain't gone. It ain't cured. But it's still there and it can become active. First time I ever heard that. My daughter used to go to a daycare thing for just a little while in downtown Mobile. I forget the lady's name. She had leukemia in remission. She knew. The doctors had done told her, if it ever becomes active, there ain't going to be nothing we can do to stop it. It did. She died. Ours is not remission. Ours is forgiveness.
Amen.
You know what forgiveness is? God can't remember them no more. They're gone. He don't want to hear about them. They're over with. And if you got to confess a sin to get forgiveness, you ain't got forgiveness.
Amen.
You understand? Now, there's nothing wrong with you being sorry for being sorry. I know that every one of you has done things, and after it's over with, well, I wish I hadn't have done that. Wish I hadn't have done that. I'm sorry I did that. Can you bring it back?
No.
Can't bring it back. And God knew that. So Jesus Christ died for that problem. He knew we were sinners. He knew we couldn't make it in the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. Spirit against the flesh. Galatians 5, they are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, what are the 12 ministering then? They ministering the gospel of the kingdom. Paul's ministering the gospel of Christ. That Christ died for men's sins. Now, verse 20 again. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Go to, take 1 Peter while you're back here and take John chapter 10. John chapter 10, take 1 Peter chapter, I believe it's 5. I'll have to look. 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, there ain't no need in going to 1 Peter. Let's skip 1 Peter. Go to John 10. We'll do it there. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter, that's John the Baptist, openeth, and I expect that's water baptism. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Come to verse 9. Well, I apologize. Go to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Is Jesus Christ the door of the sheep?
Yeah.
Well, if the porter opened the door, and I suspect he opened it by water baptism, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I believe the opening of the door through John the Baptist, he came to preach water baptism for remission of sins. Now, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, he didn't come for you to have more abundant life in this world, did he?
No.
You know, an ambassador's in a foreign land just for a short time. Some of them get in trouble and they ain't there very long at all. Get them out of there. And if turmoil starts in the country that the ambassador's in, what is the first thing this country does? Go get them out of there. So that God can't pour out his wrath over here on Israel until he gets his ambassadors out of here. You understand? We got to get out of here. Why not go on and get out of here? I mean, I may not be the oldest in here, but I might be. Just by chance, I might be. And I don't see no future getting any better. Not in this flesh. Flesh is soft. God Almighty told Adam back there, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, Adam died in the substitute that day in the animal.
Amen. Yep.
But from that day forth, Adam went downhill till he died.
Amen.
What was Adam, 936 years old? Lord, don't let me stay here 936 years. Somebody have to wheel me around in a wheelbarrow. Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. Excuse me. Apologize. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the world. Who did he give his life for?
The sheep.
Y'all understand? Sheep or sheep? As sheep or sheep? Go to Jeremiah chapter 50. Y'all know the verses. But we're going to read them. Jeremiah 50. Did the Bible say that God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20? Yeah. Did the shepherd give his life for the sheep or the world?
Jeremiah
for the sheep. For the sheep. Jeremiah chapter 50. Go to verse 4. But in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. Where are they going to go? It's in this time over here in the tribulation. You know where they're going to go? They're going to go to Zion. Why? The Lord will roar out of Zion. Isaiah 59, verse 20. The Redeemer shall roar out of Zion, turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them. He said that. Now watch what happens here. Verse 4, in those days and at that time shall the children of Israel shall come, they shall, and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant. The new covenant, beloved. The old covenant is vanishing away. Hebrews said, the old covenant is not done away with yet, but it's ready to be done away with. Why? Because it's not done away until the testator comes back over here.
Yeah.
And you can't have new covenant in here or in here. We're not members of the letter, we're members of the spirit.
Amen.
Verse 5. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces did was saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in perpetual covenant. Thou shalt not be forgotten. My people, always, when you see my people in the 1611 King James Bible, don't put yourself in that. This is a reverence to Israel and Judah. God's people, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. You go back to Genesis 49 and you'll find there are 12 sons that are blessed, and they are the 12 tribes of Israel, the same that James wrote to in the book of James. Verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They are gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them, and beloved, they have been devoured for years. And you know why? Because they turned their back on God and turned to Baal worship, which is idolatry. They are gone. Come over to verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. Well, you can't miss that. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I got to show you this. Now, we're talking about members of the church, the body of Christ now. I'll tell you what, do you might as well go ahead and take 1 Corinthians 12 while you're at it, because this basically about the same thing, just a little bit different wording. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's spiritual baptism. Ain't got nothing to do with water. That's spiritual. Verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. All Greeks are Gentiles. All Gentiles ain't Greeks. But all Greeks are Gentiles. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, and also to the Greek. Because you got the Gentiles over here that Paul wrote to, such as us, that were not in the covenants of promise. But we're Gentiles, and that's why he made the statement in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 that he did, which is Christ in you. He's talking about among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's so different about Christ in these Gentiles? They didn't have a hope until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel to us. And that's the dispensation we live in now.
Amen.
Well, if people like it or not, it don't matter to me. I don't care. God don't care. You can believe God or believe Satan. It don't make no difference. God give you a choice. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. Now, hold the fort. Are we all the same gender in him?
No.
Well, now that's dumb. Need to ask that question. I can look at you and tell you ain't.
Only in Christ.
Sometimes. Rick? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't tell. Anyway, beside the point, are there any Jews or Gentiles in the body of Christ? We're all one in Christ. We're members of his flesh and bone. Ephesians chapter 5 says. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, now you see that capital S? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Go to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Are you a member of the church, the body of Christ?
Yes.
How did you get to be a member? By water baptism?
No.
By believing the gospel of Christ. And when you believe the gospel of Christ, the Holy Spirit knows your heart, and he knows, knowing your heart, whether you have trusted Christ as your Savior or not, if you have, the Holy Spirit baptized you into that body. And that body was resurrected in AD 33, and I wasn't born to 35, and I was already resurrected when I was born.
Yes, sir.
You can't beat that. The 12 didn't have anything like that. And then in Galatians chapter 2, which happened in Acts chapter 15, Paul said these people here that were apostles before me added nothing to me. They didn't have one blessed thing that they could add to Paul's ministry. He said, but contrarywise, he added something to them. You know what he added to Peter? You can find it in 1st and 2nd Peter. He added to them. We'll go to 1st Peter. Go to 1st Peter. Chapter 1. Let's start in verse 3. 1st Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You see the word again? Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, God begot a nation out of another nation back here. And over here in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, according to Matthew 21, the kingdom was taken from Israel. And according to Luke chapter 12, God said to Peter and them, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So they show up over here. What are they? Go to chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation." Hold the fort. Now listen to me. It's being a chosen generation, a holy nation, the same as being a body?
No.
Well, are we a body or a nation?
Body.
We're a body. 1 Peter and 2 Peter ain't writ to you. It's writ to the strangers and the scattered. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I know what the apostles were taught. I know what they preached. Verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you." So he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter to the same bunch of people that are looking for salvation at the second coming. Those that endure to the end. Matthew chapter 24 verse 13. "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Well, they got to remember something that was taught to them, hadn't they?
Amen.
You know what they're remembering? Hold your place in and go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The book of Hebrews is written for you, but not to you. Don't try to get your doctrine out of the book of Hebrews. You're going to get all fouled up. It has to do with a priesthood. It has to do with a high priest that's not after the order of Levi. He's after the order of Melchizedek. And it's about a new covenant. In Hebrews 2 verse 1, "Therefore we," the writer included, "ought to give heed to the more earnest things to which..." "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast..." Well, beloved, Paul told you in Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed." So if an angel come down here preaching the book of Revelation or Hebrews through Revelation, he'd be accursed of God. He didn't tell me to curse him. He said he's already accursed for lying in the name of God. You ought to study Jeremiah 23 about liars in the name of God, what God thinks about them. Verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, "That we may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior." Were they to remember those things that were spoken of back here? Well, certainly they were. Is anything wrong with teaching the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? No, it ain't. We should do so. That way you can spot false teachers. And if you're going to an assembly that's teaching you wrong, you know what God told you to do? Come out from among them. He said, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What concord hath Christ with Belial?" In other words, you can't be in agreement with God while sitting in somebody that's in disagreement and agreeing with them. You'd be better to stay home. If I start teaching wrong doctrine, don't come back here. Stay home. Don't fool with me. I may lose my little bit of mind I got. I ain't got but about that much to start with. And if I lose it and start teaching false doctrine, don't come back in here. I mean, you don't know what your mind might do to you. You know? People say, "Well, I can control my mind." You sure about that? You ever known anybody personally that had Alzheimer's? I was very closely related to several kin of mine that had Alzheimer's. They ain't got the foggiest idea what their mind's doing. But you know what? A lot of times they're happier than people that are in their right mind. As far as being happy. Look what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that thou shalt come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? That's the second coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, we know, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd be scared to walk out that door out there. That telephone pole may fall on you and take you out of here. You may go down here to the corner, somebody run over you and kill you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm like Paul. If I set myself on fire, would it help you? It wouldn't help you. You got a choice to make. You say, well, I'm not going to make a choice. Yeah, you will. You either saved or you ain't. If you walk out this door lost, you made a choice to do so. God didn't make you get out of here. You can trust Christ right where you're at. You ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to go nowhere. All you got to do is believe that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, he died for you and your sins, and all your sins are paid for. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you give us this morning. We thank you that we can put our faith and trust in this 1611 King James Bible. Yes. We ask you to be with us. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know if they've ever trusted you as their personal Savior, may the Holy Spirit convict them of this situation that they're in, and they see a need for salvation. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.